Hey, I'll tell you what, we got a great show for you here this morning. Flint Rasmussen, the legendary Flint Rasmussen, here with us. We're broadcasting live from the Summit Cigar Lounge, and he's going to be with us for the next 2 hours. Hey, Flint, first off, welcome back from the National Finals Rodeo. I know you were so busy down there, so it's great to finally get a little bit of free time to catch up with you here.
Free time, catch a Bobcat game or two, come down in the basement with you. Yeah. This is you got some nice digs down here.
This is a nice setup, isn't it?
Yeah,
here.
This is good.
I've been to cigar lounges in Miami, and this rivals most of the cigar lounges that you will see in Miami. And it's in Billings, Montana.
Here of we are. All no. the cigar lounges I've been in, this is the first one.
So yeah. Well, you probably, and I'm an occasional kind of cigar guy myself, this is so fun doing what I like to call a Christmas cigar, because, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, you didn't get to imbibe too much, right? A good cup of coffee and an occasional cigar. Outside these little fobs in Afghanistan, you'd have these little cigar shacks, and so, you know, people would be nice and send you a care package. And so that was kind of one of the rare things you would get to kind of enjoy overseas. So it's kind of fun to reminisce here.
Well, nothing says the holidays like a cigar in Afghanistan.
That's right.
I mean, really, when I think of the holiday season, that's exactly what
Well, in fact, I was going to joke while I was down in Las Vegas, because I had this cool custom-made hat on my head. But, you know, I'm a town kid. I'm not a ranch kid. I'm not a cowboy. My cousins are the cool cowboys in the family. But if somebody was going to ask me, hey, are you here? Are you in the NFR? I'd have been like, well, I was in the Wild West in Ramadi, Iraq for a little while. And since I've been in Afghanistan, I think I qualified for goat roping events, I think so. It was a big goat rope
listen,
the whole time.
If you've been in Afghanistan, you can wear whatever the hell you want. And I tell kids this all the time. You never qualify as a city kid if you're from Montana. The rest of the country thinks we're all cowboys and hillbillies anyway, so embrace it and just go with it.
Wait, you mean to tell me that Glasgow, Montana is not the big city? Because if my friends in Glasgow think they're the big city compared to Nashua and Opheim and Scobie.
I remember when I taught school in Havre, and I wore some Wranglers, and I wore a buckle one day, one of my buckles, and hey, redneck. Hey, hillbilly. I'm like, you live in Havre, Montana, and you're making fun of me for wearing a buckle. So now we've all at some point, wherever you live in Montana, probably shot a gopher somewhere.
Heck
so
yeah.
We're
not
we're
too
wild
far
west.
From Havre, Montana, by the way. In fact, I think I was in Chester when we went gopher hunting for one of my first times. It's a blast. It's one of the best hunting trips you can
prime
go on.
Prime gopher country on the High Line.
You know, Flint, this was kind of fun during the break. You and I were talking. We were talking about, you know, shooting gophers, prairie dogs. And so my mom's family's from Glasgow, northeast Montana.
The Scotties.
My dad, that's right. My dad's family's from, he was a whitefish bulldog, right?
Talk about two clashes of Montana culture.
Yeah.
Whitefish to Glasgow, you know. It's almost two different states. And there's a lot of states like that. Oregon's the same way. You know, you have the western, that the pine trees and the lakes, and then Glasgow, whatever's up there. Anyway,
well, what's funny though is that there's a lot of actually flathead people who I know Kelly and some of my friends in Glasgow would be like, shh, don't tell people this, but a lot of some folks from the Flathead are actually moving back towards like Fort Peck Lake because they're like, it's just been getting crowded here in the Flathead. But my stepmom is Canadian, so they'd always come, you know, skiing a big mountain and things like that. But my stepmom's dad, Sonny, just a character. He was friends with fellow wheat farmers here on the Montana side of the border. So we'd go shoot prairie dogs in Chester. But, you were right down the road from Chester, Montana.
And it's funny how those, you know, I think when people think of Montana now from out of state in my travels, you know, they think of Montana as everywhere. There's kind of an L shape of booming Montana. Everybody thinks all of Montana is really taking off. Booming, you know, everywhere from whitefish down the Flathead to Missoula. Then it kind of takes that turn to Bozeman, and Billings is growing and thriving. But there's a lot of Montana that we don't think of that isn't growing. When I was in high school, we played Chester in football. 11 men. They were tough. All the Kimball boys. You know, I played against Scott, and then there's Brad, who I see around. But I think I don't think people realize now Chester, it's Chester, Joplin, Inverness, and they play eight-man, maybe six-man. Shoto's down to 110 kids in the high school. I think there's some forgotten. There's a lot of Montana that people don't realize. Like I have people say, hey, what'll 100 acres go for in Montana? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you want to live in Bozeman or do you want to live in Scobie?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. I don't know that the rest of the country understands the contradictions that happen in this state.
And we've seen that play out in some of the economic data that's come out recently here, too, where it shows, you know, big growth, country leading growth economically, record low unemployment, 2.8% mm-hmm. here in Montana. But those middle counties are struggling. And I would say even more so, of course, not only because of challenges in rural America, period, but heck, I mean, the fires, the drought, the cattle markets. I remember earlier this fall, our friends in southern Phillips County, south of Malta, we were hearing that like 40% of the cattle herds had already been moved out of southern Phillips County because of the drought and concerns about feed and everything else.
Yeah, but nobody see what look at what our influences are in Montana now. And we joke about it, but it is true. The show Yellowstone. There's never a bad day on John Dutton's ranch. I mean, there's a bad day because they're running people off and
people trying to kill them.
I mean, you know, I tell everybody Yellowstone is not a documentary. You know, so I think people, you know, there's, oh, I want a ranch in Montana. And, you know, I'm not an avid Yellowstone watcher, but they don't deal with droughts and they don't deal with a hard winter. It never snows on the Dutton Ranch either, in case you notice. But we don't, you know, it's not a representation in all seriousness about people around Zortman or, you know, the people out at Jordan where there wasn't a blade of grass. You know, my friend Lloyd Ketchum, who is from Miles City and ranches down southeast of Miles City, there's no fire danger right now because there's no grass to burn. It was so dry. So we don't, that's what people don't see, you know.
Well, and they also don't know the significance and the importance of just one single ranch and how critical every single ranch is to these communities, because it's not just that great family that lives out on the ranch. They're buying ear tags and they're paying for veterinary services and they're subsidizing local schools and the insurance agent on Main Street. That ranch is propping up that entire Main Street. And so if we lose a ranch, that's a huge impact socially, culturally, economically, all around.
Yeah, and there's nothing that's going on in the country that's making it easy for people to keep family ranches. And, you know, I think back to, I always, my greatest memory is my brother Will, who you kind of know, who the rodeo announcer.
Rodeo announcer of the year.
Yeah.
That's right, Will Rasmussen, yeah.
And when he was in high school in Shoto, Montana, the fall of 78, he's a 79 grad, they had a great football team in Shoto. And Shoto played in the playoffs, played Glendive. Glendive had 850 kids in the high school. Shoto had 270, but were Class A. And, you know, back then, everybody had four or five kids. Everybody stayed on the ranch. Everybody farmed. Everybody worked. They were functioning, working farms. So there was
now
machinery
maybe,
company.
Now maybe one kid stays back on the farm or the ranch.
And they've sat there and watched their dad and grandpa work their butts off.
Never get a vacation.
To scrape by. Never get a break. They age. They're 55 and look 76. And so that it's a hard ranching and farming is a great, great thing. And it holds Montana up. It's what Montana was built on. But it's really hard to justify, and you look even from the outside, would I stay? Man, I don't know.
Yeah, you might like to own it and have somebody else run it and do the day. You know what I mean? But, man, what were we talking about during the break? All sorts of stuff.
So I had an interesting, in my limited watching of Yellowstone, which I like. Like I said, I always know somebody. Forrey Smith, I know.
Yeah.
He's Lloyd. And there's always local flavor, guys making an appearance here and there.
But they integrate a lot of local Montanans into this show, Yellowstone. I do have to caution us very quickly.
Oh, yes.
My buddy Kelly in Glasgow, if we give away what is happening in the current season, he's going to be ticked. And he'll come down and find us. It'll be like our own episode of Yellowstone. You know,
I'm not very up on it, but I saw one little segment of an episode that was replaying, and okay, earmuffs if you don't. John Dutton decides to run for governor, so that isn't it so his son won't run for governor? Is that the deal? I think he's doing everything he can to keep his son from running.
Yeah, yeah.
His son thought he was
going. Shady, and
he's shady.
Yep, doesn't want to. Yeah,
he looks shady. Yeah, he's that guy who you see in the bar and you want to kick his butt.
Anyway. Well, and he's always in a suit. Even on the ranch, he's in a suit, and it's like, dude, loosen up a little bit. I mean, and the most dressed up. I mean, some people gotta wear suits in Montana. Yeah. Like, I think Bo's brother has to wear a suit because of his job, but he's still got cowboy boots on and still has dirt under those boots.
Is that creating almost that caricature of the contrast of the ranching family and the son who isn't on the ranch? You see what I think that's what they're doing.
But there was a line that he used in that stood out to you. What was that
okay,
line?
Okay, so John Dutton steps up to the podium in the rotunda of the Capitol for his press conference to announce that he's running for governor. And he makes a statement that I thought was interesting in the context of what that show has done for Montana. He said, what we need to do is not lose sight of what a real Montanan is and what it means to be from Montana. We've talked about this.
Yeah,
you and
we
I
talked
on this
about
show.
That last year.
He
yeah.
said we can't lose sight of what it means to be a real Montanan. And if you're looking for progress, I'm the opposite. I'm anti-progress. That was his speech. And I thought, this coming from Kevin Costner on a show that has probably done more to bring people into Montana and promote progress in Montana and forget what it means to be Montanan than anything in the history of Montana. Don't get me wrong. I'm not David Allen that posts pictures of winter every day to keep people out of Montana.
David Allen, of course, who worked alongside Dale Earnhardt Sr. and was the CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, worked closely with you and Bo Wagner over the years. Yeah, great guy.
I'm not as protective of Montana as some. I know progress is inevitable to a point, but I thought it was funny that was included in the show Yellowstone that has caught. I mean, in all my travels, I watch Yellowstone. We're trying to move to Montana now.
So okay, everybody's telling me about that. Yeah.
So it was funny that was a line in the show. And
Well, I spoke with Brian Yablonsky from PERC, a think tank in Bozeman yesterday about some of the actual, you know, because it's over the top and it's overblown, but that's what Hollywood does. You expect that. That's why you watch movies and shows. But there's some underlying themes that are really spot on, like you mentioned. But I also spoke with Jeremy Carl from the Claremont Institute, who lives in Bozeman now, too. Making the point that there's another series out there. I guess it's called, like, is it Insurrection or what is it? Bo, do you know what it's called?
I don't.
Anyway, there's some other show. I don't know if it's on HBO or whatever. And it's got like a tiny fraction of the viewers that the show Yellowstone has. But it's whatever all the media thinks is all the rage because it's what they're interested in. But the rest of America is interested in horses and cows and ranchers and cowboys and cowgirls and buckle bunnies.
Yeah. And make no mistake, Taylor Sheridan, who created Yellowstone and directs Yellowstone, who I've met him once or twice. He called me out because I actually, in my shows in the PBR, in the arena, I joke about Yellowstone.
Oh, nice.
You know, yeah. Nothing says old grizzled rancher like a 35,000 square foot stone house. Well, he was at in Albuquerque at the PBR when I made fun of the show Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And he called me out on it one time, but he's very into cutting horses.
Yeah. Him and his wife have both won awards.
Yeah. So all of a sudden there's scenes on Yellowstone where they're just out in the arena or in the pen riding these cutting horses, and people from Montana, the hell are they doing with these cutting horses? Like, that's everyday part of the ranch. Well, no, but he's showcasing what his interests and what he knows, what Taylor Sheridan knows. And so he is taking that opportunity, and that's what you do, to integrate his interests and his, in the meantime, he's integrating people from that discipline. He has integrated great horse trainers into the show. He's integrated himself. I was watching.
Yeah, he's actually the guy on the horse with the cutting horse.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's him actually on the cutting horse because, he's won awards doing that.
Yeah, and he's integrated people we know in the business. I'm watching one day and I said, wow, could they have advertised a Bloomer trailer any bigger? Said, wonder what Randy Bloomer did to get him to use his trailers. Here these guys ride up on horses. Who's on the horse? Randy Bloomer, owner of Bloomer Trailers, who we know. So
in fact, Bloomer Trailers had a huge display down at Cowboy Christmas right near where you would do your show. And, you know, I'm pretty proud of my new camper that I got, too. But I'm like, holy cow, these things, it's a horse trailer with a fancy camper on top of it. I was like, man, I just need some horses. Yeah. But I think the horses would cost more than my kids right about now.
But, you know, that's the interesting thing about the rodeo business is you could look at a great, say, a barrel racer or a roper, and you figure the truck, the Bloomer trailer or whatever brand of trailer, and the three horses or four horses in it, I can't calculate. You know, you're $500,000.
Oh, wow.
With
I was going to say, because you not only have kids, but you've got kids who are legendary barrel racers, too. I want to save that topic for the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Because, you know, right now, this is this extra hour.
Let's go cowgirls instead of barrel racers.
Okay, there you go.
They barrel race, but they do others.
But they do everything else, too. Yeah. That's right. Tie down, everything, right? Yeah, good point. So. Yeah. In fact, it was funny down at Cowboy Christmas, because Cowboy Christmas in Las Vegas during the NFR is like a fashion show in itself. And so my wife bought these bell bottoms before we went down there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bell bottoms? Are you kidding me? But then she tried them on. And I'm like, okay, all right. I like the bell bottoms.
Yeah. The trouser jeans, right? Wrangler has some. My girls, it's kind of the thing now, the kind of the big trouser bell bottomy things over that they rodeo it.
Well, and so what was funny, so my wife is wearing these bell bottoms, got a picture next to the Elvis statue with his bell bottoms too, but you know, she's looking so cute in these bell bottoms that one lady came up and said, are you a barrel racer?
Yeah, and your wife, she's smoky. She's a better smoke show than this room we're in.
Than the cigar lounge. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Yep. And she's tough, too. In fact, I had to joke about the University of Montana Grizz football coach, Bobby Houck, mm-hmm. because he's in the news. Did he sign this letter or not? But apparently his family member signed the letter. Anyway, so I joked on Twitter earlier this morning. I said, well, beside every man is a much stronger woman, you know, an even stronger woman. So
Exactly right. I used to say that. They always said, behind every man's a good woman. No, beside every man.
Exactly. And that's not just virtue signaling. That's just trying to keep your ass out of trouble is really what that is, you know.
I have become so numb to a lot of the news because I pride myself on keeping up with things. But, boy, I'll tell you, there's a point I have just started to turn things off. But I saw the Bobby Houck. Wait a second, I didn't read the letter, I didn't sign the letter, and it was against the, because I know a lot of the administrators sent a disapproval letter, correct?
Yeah. Well, so you know, the way I see it, at least, is you know, to sum it up, is so the bigger city, AA school superintendents, where they have mask mandates oftentimes in place and things like that, they've been getting heavily criticized by parents and the state superintendent, Elsie Arntzen, has spoken out against mask mandates. So they attacked her. And so then this letter got circulated to support her. And Bobby Houck and his wife's name was on the letter. But he's getting attacked by the more liberal folks in Missoula. And so now the story came out that, well, he didn't read the letter or sign the letter, but a member of his family did. Well, his wife's name's on there, too. So good job, Mrs. Houck. But it's just so funny. It's like, you know what? Who cares? Leave the guy and his family alone. Yeah. He's got a right to believe what he believes.
You know what? I've visited with Bobby up one year at the NFR when he was at UNLV. We have some mutual.
And you're a Bobcat fan.
Oh, yeah. And later in the, what do we call it? The 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But I ran into him at the NFR one year and we visited. I ran into him. He was flying home from recruiting in Texas and flew back into Billings and I caught him and he remembered me and we visited for a few minutes. And what was really funny, I didn't realize that I had like a jean jacket on and I had a Bobcat shirt underneath and we visited and he kept glancing down at my shirt and I wanted to say, no good. Like it was pretty funny, but yeah, overall, Bobby Houck's a good dude. I think sometimes he doesn't always say the right things to the media, but I think he's just, that's what he does.
He's a football coach. Well, it is funny. I went to a Grizz alumni gathering here a couple years ago, and he actually joked. He said, "You know, both my daughters are going to Montana State University right now. I just got a full disclosure before we get this alumni gathering together here. You know, so it's pretty funny." By the way, you like my Rockin' R?
You got
hat?
A Rockin' R bar?
Rockin' R Bozeman hat on here. This is the Support Our Troops edition of the hat.
Nice.
Fundraiser for Warriors in Quiet Waters, great organization based in Bozeman. So quick shout out.
If there's one, I have more ball caps. I every once in a while I got to bag them up and throw them in a closet because I have so many. And if there's one thing I don't, for some reason, Rockin' R Bar, huge supporter of the Montana State rodeo team as well. And my daughters have been, my oldest daughter, Shelby, was in on the interview process for their new coach, spent a lot of time with the owners of the Rockin' R. I don't have a Rockin' R Bar. I want a blue and gold Rockin' R.
You don't have a Rockin' R hat?
Can
you
believe that? They were legendary when we were young.
Either they don't like you or you're a cheapskate, or both.
Or I haven't been. I know, I haven't been.
The BS Buzz is this great nightly news publication. Every afternoon, early evening, if you show up at a bar, restaurant, or grocery store in Glasgow, Montana, this thing is going to be sitting on the counter, and people pick it up. It's got, you know, the best hunting picture during hunting season, mm-hmm. the best fishing picture any season, you know, just little tidbits. But anyway, I told you I was listening. So talking high school football. We were talking high school football during the break here with Dana Bishop is smoking that good-smelling cigar right now, and he's a great referee, so... We could almost do a competition between the two of you, high school mascot competition. But we'll save that for after the show.
The consolidations are killing me, man.
Yeah. But anyway, so Kelly tells me this. Your cousin was the running back for the 1984 State A champions, beating Miles City in Miles City 21-17 after trailing the Cowboys 70-0 in the first half. Kind of funny, the announcer at halftime announced where the celebration party would be, but then they didn't get to have their celebration party. But, yeah, he was there. My Uncle Big Dave and my Grandpa Ron, they were all there taking football photos for the
See,
game.
I'm friends with Bob Connors, who was a Glasgow great.
So. They own the Dairy Queen, I think,
there you
Connors
go.
Family.
There you go. See, small world. We were just talking at the commercial here that you know that the great thing, not so much the Bozeman, Missoula, that whole what people know Montana, but when you get up the High Line, whether it's Glasgow and Haver and over to Chester and Shelby and down to Shoto and Connor, you know you have a reference to everybody.
Yeah.
You know somebody in that area.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it was really fun. I got to go down to Las Vegas. I would say for the NFR, but I'm saying during the NFR because there was no way I was getting NFR tickets. But it was just so cool to be there as part of the Cowboy Christmas and the whole experience because there's tens of thousands of people that are there watching the NFR at a local bar or club but don't actually make it into the rodeo. But it was also really cool seeing Bo Wagner there. He's a rodeo producer, you know, entertainment producer here in Montana. We talked with him last year. He got his start with Dale Earnhardt and David Allen back in the day. But he's a part of the whole Flint Rasmussen enterprise as well down there.
I like the word enterprise. That sounds so much better.
Is that okay? You like that? You guys can pay me later.
Flint Rasmussen Enterprise. FRE, Flint Rasmussen Enterprise.
You've got to trademark that.
Yeah, during...
The free
enterprise. Yeah. My brother Will and I had a talk. Well, I have a podcast that just came out this morning. Check it out. According to Flint. It's on YouTube. We post the links on my public Facebook page. Anyway, Will and I had a talk about this whole COVID crap that, and I don't mean that in a, it's all fiction. I mean, just in general, just what it's done to life.
Everybody would agree that no matter where you sit on vaccines, that it's all crap that we just wish we were done.
Just wish it was done. Yeah. But there's so many things, negatives that have come out of it, but there's these little hidden things that have come out of it. My brother Will ended up, it took his livelihood away because rodeos were canceled.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky enough to be an employee of the PBR, and we kept working. I did some TV work and stayed on the payroll anyway.
The biggest shows were able to keep going.
Yeah. And, you know, Will, it took his livelihood away, and he, for years, still has announced rodeo in Salmon, Idaho. And they approached him. He approached them. He lives in Salmon, Idaho now, just bought a place there, and is the morning guy on the radio station KSRA there, has done taken it and run with it, and he loves it. He's happier than he's been in a long time. So it has created these little things that we're all doing. The other thing was, in the middle of it, of all of us sitting locked up in our houses, David Allen, who's a good friend and I worked with, gave me a break in 1995 by hiring me to work the College National Finals Rodeo that he produced. He said, it's time we get to work on your next venture. We need to do some Facebook Live stuff. We need to start a podcast. And so he brings Bo, because Bo worked for him forever. And here we are doing all this media stuff.
Yeah, and Bo Wagner, I loved your story that you shared last year along with David Allen. Basically, you're this kid fresh out of high school, still had your probably torn up jeans and dirty cowboy boots on, and you show up and all of a sudden you're catching a ride in Dale Earnhardt's limo and you're working in NASCAR and all this. But how do you describe the whole Flint Rasmussen enterprise, not just in Vegas but throughout the year, really?
Sure. Well, we're still trying to get Flint to come out of his shell a little bit, but
it's hard to get him talking. It's a challenge. Yeah.
I've rodeoing and growing up in Montana, you know, I grew up and, you know, rodeoing the Northern Rodeo Association and things like that, where Flint was coming up. And so I've seen him in the arena since I was, I don't even remember when. So we've always been friends. We've always had a lot of that connection. And, it's been amazing to watch his career, not only in the PRCA and now into the PBR. But, you know, there's nobody in Western sports that has the reach and really the personality that Flint does, because he can entertain inside the arena, and he's had so much activity outside the arena. And so that's where we kind of wanted to come in and try to expand and build on that, because he's just draws people in with his personality and how he can connect with people. And so we're just trying to provide different avenues and I guess opportunities for that reach to grow even further outside the arena.
It was cool to see you guys down in Vegas, and I know you were so busy too, I almost hated even bugging you, but it was cool to see just the whole setup for his show that he did, you know, every late morning from the National Finals Rodeo and Cowboy Christmas, you know, just to see the whole production standpoint. But I remember he held up a sign, Circle Montana, at some point, and there you go, out in the crowd, woo, there's like five people from Circle Montana that are there for his live show from Vegas. But it was also kind of cool seeing you in your element. You were producing some of the NFR watch parties, I think is a good one, and concerts, live concerts. So like Glenn Templeton, you brought him to Kalispell before for some of the rodeos up there. But yeah, you were like, it was like you were in this circular command and control room, Starship Enterprise looking deal. And you got a Cowboy Calcutta going on for the NFR. They're showing the NFR live. And then, you know, you're playing music, and then you got a country concert you're doing after. So it was cool to see your whole deal, the whole element.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of moving parts this year. You know, we produced the stage at Cowboy Christmas and had a few different shows there. And then we moved over to the Virgin Hotel and Casino and did the viewing party and concerts and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. But 14 days in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was tired just thinking of your schedule. So, Flint Rasmussen, how do you describe the Bo Wagner Enterprise? And by the way, where's Logan Allen? I thought he was going to be here, too. Is he, you know, he's probably out,
you know,
with his dad hunting something.
Logan's marching to the beat of that drum that only he can hear this morning. you know what's funny is the Vegas thing. You spend 14 days there, and you get home, and people say to me, oh, my God, did you just have a blast in Vegas? And I always had to stop and go, I don't know. It's a blur, because when you are in that element of always, like I did two shows a day. I do my stage talk show, variety show, and then I host the Buckle Awards live on TV in the showroom at South Point every night at 9:30. Your mind never quits. You know that. If you have a show coming up, your mind's always on that next show.
Yeah.
What can I do
you
for that show?
You can't relax until that show's over and it's the weekend or whatever. Yeah.
And so it's long days, but, you know, these guys, I'll tell you, I need Bo and Logan. For one, Logan's 23. So, I can do social media. I can do a lot of stuff, but running a lot of technology is way, like I always say, I used to say it about fixing fence, fixing cars. There's people make a living doing that stuff, and it ain't me. So that's what these guys, the technical side to be for me to be able to go, oh, wait a minute, I do a half-hour show for the PBR once a week. It's on their Ride Pass streaming network on Pluto. And wait a minute, so you're telling me I can show a video clip? Wait, I can show a picture and talk about it? We have visual, you know, just to get that. And Bo and Logan's are the ones that say, give us the video. Well, we got it.
Yeah.
So it's really big, good teamwork.
But that also exposes how wide open the media really is right now. Because it's not back in the old days where you had to go suck up to some TV executive mm-hmm. somewhere to get your show yeah. on the air. The fact is, if you're bringing the content people want, they're going to come to you and find it.
Hey,
now.
We've quit. I almost did one the other night. I just was craving doing one for over a year and a half. We did a Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Tuesday night Facebook Live broadcast, informal. The comments scrolled across the bottom. I'd take questions. I'd just talk about stuff. We were getting exposure of 15,000 to 20,000 people.
Kelly tells me, actually, it was 1983. That crew graduated in 1984. So we got to be accurate here, you know, when we're talking about right. high school football. People think Democrats and Republicans get controversial. Oh, no, you start talking high school football. I mean, holy cow.
I posted a picture of my high school football team when I was senior in high school. Big team. We had 50 kids out for football. It showed Ohio. I said, the fall of 1985, I was blah, blah, blah. And somebody said, you mean 86? Because I graduated in 86. No. It's the fall of 85. You got it. Got to get
right.
that straight.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So Dana Bishop, who's here, making it smell so good here. I haven't lit up my cigar yet, but he's got his cigar going here at the Summit Cigar Lounge. But yeah, football referee. So he's been, it was really fun one year when the Cat Grizz game was going on. We had the Cat Grizz game on one TV, and then the six man, right, was in Jordan, Montana on another TV. So Dana was like the sportscaster taking us from TV to TV, telling us, you know, telling everybody, hey, this is how six man football works. So when you were down in Vegas, I also got to meet Forrey Smith, yeah. Who plays Lloyd in this show Yellowstone, and it was so cool running into him because he's the real deal, and you don't get that a lot in Hollywood.
Yeah, Forrey is, you know, when the show came out and there was Forrey in a main role on Yellowstone, everybody, there's that generation. He was in college and high school and NRA rodeos in Montana with, like, we know Dean Folkvord.
Oh, yeah,
Weed
sure.
Montana.
Weed Montana's Dean Folkvord, yeah.
Big influence in the Bobcat scene. Dean Folkvord and Kevin Nordahl and Kurt Pate, that whole group, and there was Forrey. And, like, to people in Montana, it's almost like it's just Forrey. You know? And that's how, you know, he'll call me. He called me a few months ago and said, hey, he called me. He was at the PBR finals one night. And he called me after. He said, I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing representing Montana. All right. When can I be on your show at the NFR? So people are like, how'd you get Lloyd from Yellowstone on your show? I said, he called me and he bugged me till I let
yeah,
him.
I finally,
show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So
didn't want to get pulled into the bunkhouse or
but
anything.
But he is. And he and I talked about those guys, Cole Hauser, who's Rip, and Kevin Costner. They talk to him a lot about, intrigued by the real ranch life in Montana, the real cowboy stuff. And he said they genuinely want to delve into the real what Montana is and what being a cowboy is.
You know, and I know the show is over the top, but I got this sense down in Las Vegas, and maybe it's just because it was the first time that I'd been there for the NFR Cowboy Christmas experience, but I do think we talked with Jennifer Boca, you know, and she's representing some of the you know, like Sage Newman. She's
sure.
doing, you know, sports agent stuff. But anyway, that there really is this revival of people. They feel like, because all the craziness that's going on, that we need to be reminded of the greatness of America. And the greatness of America is in large part due to our Western culture and our Western heritage and our Western lifestyle and the farmers and the ranchers. And we need to celebrate that. And that's really what the feel in the room in Las Vegas during the NFR is all about.
I try to tell people in Montana, you don't know how much the rest of the country craves the Western lifestyle. I'm going to New York City in 2 weeks, supposed to. They crave the cowboy Western lifestyle because they have become so detached from it. I don't know that people in Montana really realize how much we have become detached from it, how much it's disappearing, and how close we are to it disappearing. My girls, I had a talk with them the other day. I said, girls, someday if you have kids, will you support them or push them into the rodeo lifestyle, knowing what you've seen? They said, we don't know if we'll push them, but if they want to do it, we'll, you know, we'll support it. But if we don't pass it on to our kids, it, and that's one more family where it ends.
Yeah.
That's where it stops.
Yeah.
So we kind of do have a responsibility to pass on this lifestyle because it's disappearing so fast.